I'm going to speak this morning from the book of Zechariah. Zechariah, Old Testament. You know, the Lord gave these Old Testament believers a preview of the death of the Savior, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said of Abraham, you know, he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it. He saw my day, the day when I would come to the earth, stand on this earth and die on a tree and rise again. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and he was glad. He was glad. Job saw his day. You remember Job in chapter 19 said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that. My Redeemer, my Savior. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. He lived before Abraham. And Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and he'll, in the latter day, last day, stand on this earth. That's what he said. My Redeemer is going to stand on this earth. And he said, I shall see him. Though worms destroy this body, I die and go back to the dust. Yet in my flesh, I'm going to see God. My Redeemer is God. Now, what he understood and what he knew, I haven't any idea but I know he saw the Redeemer. I know Abraham saw the Redeemer by faith. And I know Isaiah saw the Redeemer. Isaiah said, who hath believed this message? Who hath believed our report? He'll grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness. When we see him, there's no beauty we should desire. Just a man. Despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Yet he was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace laid on him and by his stripes. That's an Old Testament man. Hundreds of years before Christ received stripes. By his stripes were healed. He saw Moses. Saw his day. Moses saw him in the Passover. He said to those Jews, they said, we have Moses. He said, well, if you'd believe Moses, you'd believe me. Moses wrote of me. Now look at Zechariah. I'm going to preach from the third chapter. Zechariah is next to the last book in the Old Testament. But I want to show you some things that Zechariah wrote and said. Look over here in Zechariah 9, chapter 9. And I ask you, as we read two or three of these verses, of whom is he speaking? Well, we know of whom he speaks. Zechariah 9, verse 9. Listen. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. Thy king cometh. You remember when the Lord rode into Jerusalem? And they threw their garments and palm leaves in the way and said, behold, Hosanna to him that cometh in the name of the Lord. Listen to this prophecy. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He's just and having salvation, but lowly, riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Remember that prophecy? Our Lord said, go get that donkey. I have need of him. And he rode him into Jerusalem. Zechariah wrote about this. Way back there. Turn to chapter 12 of Zechariah. Chapter 12, verse 10. Now listen, Zechariah writing many years before our Lord came, Zechariah 12, verse 10, and I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me, God, whom they have pierced. They pierced my hands and my feet. There's only one God who had his hands and feet pierced. They look upon me whom they pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and be in bitterness for him as one that's in bitterness for his firstborn. Chapter 13, verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain open. A fountain open. Just sang about it. There's a fountain filled with blood. There's a fountain open to the house of David, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. For what? For sin. For uncleanness. That's Christ and his blood. And then look at verse 7, chapter 13, Zechariah. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Who's my shepherd? Lord, my shepherd. And against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. My fellow, smite the shepherd. Sheep will be scattered. I'll turn my hand upon the little ones. I tell you, all the way through the Old Testament, it's Christ. Christ, our crucified Redeemer. And these pictures are just so encouraging to us that I'm going to preach on one this morning. Zechariah 3, that's where our text will be. Zechariah chapter 3. Chapter 3. Now here, verse 1, that's just... I hope when I get through these 10 verses are just going to be a part of you and a blessing to you and a comfort to you and assurance, confidence in him who is our Lord. Chapter 3 of Zechariah, verse 1, and he showed me, the Lord showed Zechariah this vision. He showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. Now the angel of the Lord is always our Lord Jesus Christ. The, not an angel, but the angel of the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's Christ. He showed me Joshua. Now Joshua here is not just an individual. Joshua is the high priest. And Joshua stands typically representing all of God's people. You see, when they selected a high priest, he was chosen from among men in things pertaining to God. And the people of Israel were here, and the high priest was between them and God. And he went to them, went to God on behalf of them, and came back from God to them. So Joshua stands here representing the people of God. You and they representing every one of God's sheep and the elect. So he saw Joshua standing before the Lord. You know, David asking in that psalm, who shall stand in his presence? Who shall ascend in the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand? Joshua standing right here in the presence of the Lord. And watch this. And he showed me, verse 1, Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Satan standing at his right hand, at the right hand of Joshua, to resist him. That word resist him is as an adversary, accuser, to charge him with sin. Satan standing there pointing to Joshua, and justly so. I'm sure Satan saying, my sins are no greater than his. My sins are no worse than his. That's what Satan's the accuser of the brethren. And he's standing there before the Lord, pointing towards Joshua to accuse him, justly so, to resist him, charge him. Verse 2, and the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. Where have you seen that before? The Lord rebuke thee. Someone said to Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. Where have you seen it? Turn to Jude, the book of Jude. There's only one chapter, so look at verse 9 of the book of Jude, and you remember where you saw this before. And here in Jude, verse 9, Michael the archangel, and you know there are not many angels named in the Bible. Gabriel, Lucifer was an angel who, I saw Lucifer, the devil, fall from heaven as lightning, Christ said. Lucifer and Michael. And here Michael, the archangel, when contending with Satan, with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. You know, God took Moses up on the mountain, and God killed him. Moses died. And we don't know anything about the body of Moses. And some people say he's talking about the law here. I believe he's talking about the body of Moses. And there Satan was contending with Michael. And what did Michael say? He disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuked thee. My friend, Satan is a powerful enemy. The scripture says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Adam was no match for Satan. He crumbled under Satan's assault. Job was no match for Satan. God gave Satan permission to attack Job, and Job was powerless. Peter the apostle was no match for Satan. Peter said one day, said to the Lord, he's talking about going to the cross, he said, far be it from thee. And our Lord turned and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Satan was using Peter to contradict them. On another occasion, our Lord told Peter he would deny him. He said, not me. These other fellows may, but not me. And he said, Peter, Simon, Satan hath desired thee that he may sift thee as wheat. And he did, and Peter denied his Lord. And there's no creature in heaven or earth that's any, has any power against Satan except one. The Lord rebuked thee. Oh, here stands Joshua before the Lord. And there's that accuser, that adversary, roaring lion, going about seeking whom he may devour, standing at his right hand to bring accusations and charges. And the Lord said, I'll handle you. The Lord will rebuke thee. The Lord will crush your head. The Lord will silence you. The Lord will destroy you. The Lord will deal with you. Joshua, my people, they can't handle you, but I can. And you bruise my heel, but I'll crush your head. I will. And listen to what he said. Who's this talking? Even the Lord that chose Joshua and Jerusalem rebuked thee. Who is this? Even the Lord who set his love upon Joshua, who chose him to be his own, who chose him before the foundation of the world. What did Paul say? Whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. What shall we say about that? I say, if God be for me, who can be against me? Even Satan. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's not our big problem. He's our big problem. The accuser of the brethren. And old Joshua stood there and the Lord said, I'll handle this. The Lord will rebuke thee. I chose him. If God be for me, who can be against me? Boy, if that don't, you know, if that don't ring your bell, your clapper's broke. That's right. I'll handle this. I rebuke him. I chose him. And listen to what he says further. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? What's a brand plucked out of the fire? Well, you folks that burn wood, a brand is a stick that's been tossed into the fire, suitable for burning, will be burned, will be consumed, unless somebody gets it out of the fire. And he said, I plucked him out of the fire. I plucked him off the dunghill. I plucked him out of the fire. And he still got the smell on him of smoke. But I plucked him out of the fire. That's right. I'm the one that chose him. I chose him, and I plucked him out of the fire. Now then, verse 3. Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel of the Lord. Now, wait a minute. Verse 1 said he's the high priest. No high priest ever stood before the Lord in filthy garments. You know, you read Leviticus 16, and you read about Aaron's robes. And I know some of you read it. He had a mitre on his head. It said, Holiness to the Lord, trimmed in gold, precious stone. He had on a robe with broad phylacteries, with bells, with that gold and silver and the breastplate and the engravings on the shoulders. That high priest robe was awesome. And that's how he stood before the Lord representing the people. He was representing, he was a picture of Christ. And when he went into the Holy of Holies, he took off all of these royal garments, royal apparel, this beautiful robe and mitre and gold and silver, and laid it aside and clothed himself in clean white linen. You remember? The high priest, not robed in royalty, but in simple white clean linen. And he'd come across the courtyard with the blood, and he'd wash his hands and feet, and then he'd go before the Lord, offer the atonement. When he came out of the Holy of Holies, he'd lay aside the linen garments and put back on that robe. Splendor, majesty. See, Christ laid aside his glory, emptied himself, came down to this earth, clothed himself in human flesh. Not filth, but human flesh. Made like unto us. Went to the cross and died. Put his blood on the mercy seat of glory. And when John saw him in the Isle of Patmos, he was clothed with the royal garments. The victorious high priest. He put back on his royalty. But Joshua here is standing before the Lord in filthy garments. This is the way the Lord sees all of us, by nature, by birth. Not robed in royalty and glory and splendor, but robed in our filthy rags of flesh. That's the way Satan saw him. That's the way he was. That's the way the Lord saw him, in filthy garments. What does Isaiah 64:6 say? We are all as an unclean thing. We fade as the leaf. Our iniquities have driven us away, and our righteousnesses are what? Filthy garments. Filthy rags. And that's the way we stand, and that's where Joshua stood. And that's what Satan was pointing at. Look at him. Look at him. Look at him. Filthy. Filthy. So the Lord speaks. Oh, listen. Verse 4. And he answered, the Lord answered and said, spake unto those that stood before him. Who are these? Angels? I don't know. Seraphims? Cherubims? Heavenly hosts? He said, take away the filthy garments from him. I'm sure glad he didn't say, take him away. Aren't you? He's going to say that someday. Matthew 7 says, they'll say, Lord, we did this, we did that, and we did the other, clothed in their filthy garments. And he says, depart from me, take them away. I never knew them. But here he says, don't take him away. And listen, salvation's not reformation either. He didn't say, take his garments and wash them and bring them back. Old Joshua would have messed them up again, wouldn't he? Don't take his garments and wash them and bring them back. Take his garments away. Take his righteousness away, and his works and his deeds and everything he's dependent on. Take them away. Take them out of my sight. Don't take Joshua out of my sight. I chose him. I plucked him out of the fire. I set my love on him. But you take his filth away. Whew, boy. And he said unto Joshua, and unto Joshua he said, I've caused your iniquity to pass from you. I've separated your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. I remember them no more. I'll cast them into the depths of the sea. I'll cast them behind my back. Now, I can't even imagine where the back of God is. God sees all things, and yet he doesn't see our sins. I'll take them away, pass away. Listen, and I'll clothe you with a change of raiment. Boy, listen, that change of raiment now, that's something else. That's his righteousness. That's his holiness. That's his obedience. That's his holiness with which God the Father said, I'm well pleased. You know, turn for a moment to the book of Ezekiel. You know that over in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, that baby was born. Is born to heathen parents. He said you were born in sin. Your mother was a Hittite and your father was an Amorite. And when you were born, nobody loved you. And they cast you in your blood out into the field and just walked on off and left you. When you were born, they threw you in the field and left you, just walked off. And you were polluted in your own blood. And I passed by. God said it was a time of love. You didn't love me, I loved you. You didn't know me, I knew you. You were prey to the wild beast. You didn't know anything or anybody. You were lying there polluted in your blood, and I passed by. And it was a time of love. And I said, live. I said to you, live. And I picked you up, and I washed you, and salted you, and swaddled you. And then he said, verse 9, Ezekiel 16, I washed you, then washed I thee with water. Yeah, I thoroughly washed away your blood. I anointed you with oil. Verse 10, Ezekiel 16, I clothed you with broidered work. I shod you with badger skin. I girded you about with fine linen. I covered you with silk. I decked you also with ornaments and put bracelets on your hands and a chain on your neck. And I put a jewel in your forehead and earrings in your ears and a beautiful crown on your head. And thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and your raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work, and you did eat fine flour and honey and oil. And you were exceeding beautiful, and you did prosper into a kingdom. And your renown went forth among the heathen for your beauty. It was perfect through my comeliness, which I put on you, saith the Lord. He fixed old Joshua up. He took his filthy garments and said, take them away. Take them away. Wash him in the blood. Sanctify him through the word. And then cover him with the righteousness of Christ. And your beauty and renown went forth all over the world. But it wasn't yours. It's mine. I put on you. Oh, my. And verse 5, Zechariah 3, listen. And I said, let them set a fire mitre upon his head. A mitre is a turban. It's a turban worn by a king. It's a crown. It's a diadem. Put a crown on his head. Wasn't that what I read in Ezekiel 16? I put a crown on your head. A crown. The king and the priest wore a crown. So they set a fire mitre upon his head and clothed him with the garments, and the angel and the Lord Jesus stood by. See, this is a picture of his work, what he did for us. He stood by. And he speaks. Look at verse 6. He speaks to Joshua. And the Lord Jesus, the angel of the Lord, protested, proclaimed is the word. You can write that right there in your Bible. He proclaimed to Joshua. The Lord speaks. No angel, no ordinary angel is going to say this. If you walk in my ways, no. This is the Lord. That's what I told you. The angel of the Lord spoke to Joshua, and he said, thus saith the Lord of hosts. That's who he is, the Lord of hosts. If you walk in my way, what is my way? I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. You walk in the way of grace and mercy and sacrifice and blood. You walk in the way of truth and love. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with him. You walk in my way, my gospel, my salvation. Listen, keep my charge, keep my ordinances, keep my word, keep my commandments, and you'll judge my house. You won't just be a doorkeeper. David said, well, I'd just soon be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord as to dwell in the tents of the wicked. You're not going to be a doorkeeper. You're going to be a judge, a son, a prince. Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins and made us kings and priests unto God. You'll judge my house. And listen, keep my courts. And I'll give you places to walk. I'll give you places to walk among those that stand by, among the angels. This is the Lord Jesus. Joshua, oh, what a picture. You keep my ways, walk in my way, way of life, the way of grace, the way of faith. You walk in my way. A man's walk is a tenor of his life. It's a bend of his will. It's a direction he's going. You look to me, walk in my, keep my ordinances, my word, and you'll judge my house and reign in my courts, and I'll let you walk in paths of righteousness with the angels of God, seraphims of glory. Oh, my. Well, how's he going to do all this? All right, Joshua, here now. Here now, the high priest, Joshua, I'm talking to you, the high priest. I'm talking to you and talking to all the people through you. You're the representative. Joshua, here now, you and all these fellows that sit before you. Who are these fellows that sit before you? They're the men wondered. They're men. They're men wondered at. Wondered at. They're the redeemed. They're the people you brought with you. They're the people you represent. They're the people who sit with you. Wondered at. We wonder at ourselves, don't we? I wonder, why do you love me? Why did he choose me? Men to be wondered at. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus found me. Out in the darkness, no light could I see. Oh, what a wonder he put his great arms under. And wonder, wonders, he saved even Henry and Henry. Isn't that something? I wonder about that, don't you? Amazing grace. Men to be, Joshua, I'm telling you something, and all those fellas with you. Men to be wondered at. They wonder. The angels wonder at us too. Why did the Lord love you? They wonder. The angels wonder, why? Why should he love me so? Why should my Savior to Calvary go? Why? Why? The world wonders at you too. They don't understand you or me. They don't understand this gospel. Some of your relatives wonder at you. Why does he drive 45 minutes to go to church and he passes 10? What's wrong with these people? They're peculiar. Well, Christ said they're peculiar people. They're different. He said they're different. They're a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. They've got to go where their Lord is and where he's preached, where his word's read. I wonder about those folks. I do too. I wonder about them. The men to be wondered at. Well, I'm saying to you, you and the men with you, people to be wondered at. Behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. My servant. I'll bring forth my servant. Who's that talking about? That's Christ. He's the branch. Let's turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah. I'll bring forth my servant. The branch. Jeremiah chapter 23. Turn over that. Jeremiah 23 verse 23 verse 5. Jeremiah 23 5. You with me? Behold, the days come. Behold, the days come. Jeremiah's writing about the Lord Jesus, saith the Lord, and I'll raise unto David. I'll bring forth from the house and lineage of David, a righteous branch, capital B, branch. Got it? Jeremiah 23:5. I bring forth a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, shall execute judgment and justice in the earth, and in his days, Judah shall be saved. And Israel shall dwell safely. That's spiritual Israel. That's the people of God. Of every nation, tribe, kindred, tongue. And this is his name. The branch whereby he shall be called. The Lord our righteousness. That's who he is. The branch. Jeremiah 33. Turn over that. Jeremiah 33. He's the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord our righteousness. Jeremiah, I believe it's chapter 33, verse 15. Jeremiah 33:15. Listen, in those days, and at that time, in the fullness of time, will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up under David. What does that mean, grow up under David? Our Redeemer has to be the son of David. Has to be the root of Jesse. Has to be the tribe of Judah. Has to be from Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, on down. David, Judah, Jesse, David, huh? He'll grow up, born of a woman, heir to the throne. Behold, Bethlehem, thou art the smallest of all, but out of thee shall come the branch, the king, whose goings forth have been from everlasting. Listen, Jeremiah 33, verse 15. I'll cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. And in those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. Now, what's the difference in this reading? And this is the name wherewith she shall be called. Jeremiah 23 said this is the name he would be called, the Lord our righteousness. And here it's talking about his bride and the name by which she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Doris Mahan was my bride 50 years ago. She was Doris Freeze. She's Doris Mahan. Now she called by my name. We're one. She wears my name. You wear your husband's name because you're one. And when the Lord Jesus chose me and you and married us, he gave us his name. He gave us his name. The Lord our righteousness. He's righteous and so are you. What he has is yours. Where he dwells, you dwell. Your people are my people. Where you live, I live. Your God's my God. Where you die, I die. Where you're buried, I'm buried. We're one. I'm called by his name. The Lord our righteousness. With his spotless garments on, I'm as holy as God's Son. Near, so near to God, nearer I cannot be. In the person of his Son, I'm one with he. You know something? The branch. Oh, I tell you, look back at the text there at Zechariah 3. Oh, I'll bring forth my servant, and he'll do everything I commanded of you. He's my servant. My servant in whom my soul delights. Listen. Zechariah 3, verse 9. And behold the stone that I have laid. Who laid the stone? The cornerstone? The tribe stone? The sure stone? I laid it, God says. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation of stone. And the stone that I laid before Joshua and before you, his people, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. That's the omniscience of the Lord. See, he talks about seven spirits. That's the Lord God. Seven spirits in every place. In every place. Seven eyes, omniscient. Omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. That's what he's talking about, the Lord. And watch it. And behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord. I'll do it. I'll engrave the graving. I sat and looked at that. And then I began to read some things, and I found out it took me back to Exodus, chapter 28. Chapter 28 of Exodus. Turn over there a moment. Exodus 28, verse 11. Exodus 28, verse 11. Let's look at this a minute. This is the talking about the Let's start with verse 9 of Exodus 28. Yeah, I want you to get this now and look at it. He says, God says, I'll engrave the graven. Verse 9 of Exodus 28, and thou shalt take two onyx stones and grave on them the names of the children of Israel. No names of Hittites and Amorites and Philistines, Israel. Engrave their names on those stones. I read on. Six of their names on one stone, and the other six names of the rest of them on the other stone, according to their birth, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. And thou shalt make them to be set unchangeably in ouches of gold. And thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod, for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for memorial. Aaron's the priest, and he goes before the Lord with the atonement, with the sacrifice, and he has on these stones every name, the 12 tribes of Israel. And our Lord Jesus Christ said here in my text, now look at it, Zechariah 3, verse 9, behold, the stone that I've laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the gravings thereof. Who do you engrave? The names of every one of his elect are on the shoulders of Christ, in the hands of Christ, as our high priest before the Lord. He bears your name before the Lord. He maketh intercession for us. Listen, and I'll remove the iniquity of that land in one day. The iniquity of the whole kingdom, of the whole land, of all the people, of all generations, of all God's elect, in one day on that cross, when our high priest bore our names and died and offered the blood. I'll remove the iniquity in one day. It's gone. My sins are gone. They're put away. They're all taken away. And in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall you call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree, because it's peace with God forever. Now, one other scripture, and I'll close. Zechariah 6. Turn over there. Zechariah 6. Still talking about Joshua here. Verse 11. Zechariah 6, verse 11. Look at it. Talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, represented by Joshua. Then take silver and gold and make crowns, one of silver and one of gold, and set them on the head of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man. The man. What Pilate say when the Lord stood before him? The man. Not a man. The man. By man came death, by man came the resurrection. By one man's sin, death, disobedience, sin into the world, second man's the Lord from heaven. Behold the man. Listen. Whose name is the branch? He came from David, Jesse. He'll grow up out of his place, Bethlehem. Can any good thing come out of Galilee? He grew up. He grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. He grew up as a child, as a man. He grew up out of his place where God put him. And he shall build the temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord is not made with hands. It's made by him. He said, I'll build my church. Peter said he takes the living stones and builds a living temple and dwells there. He'll build his temple. I know my sheep. They know me. I give them eternal life. I'll build my temple. Listen to verse 13. Even he shall build his temple, the temple of the Lord. I'll say it again, the Lord said. He's going to build the temple, not you. I hear preachers talk about planting churches and building churches. The Lord builds his church. I'll build my church. He'll build his church. He said that twice. And he'll bear the glory. He's going to get the glory to all of it. I'll give you an infallible test for every sermon, every religious act or deed, song, whatever, to know whether God's in it, whether it's of the Lord. Turn to Psalm 29, verse 9. Here's an infallible test. Whether God's in it or not. Psalm 29, 9. Whether it's of the Lord. Whether it's His kingdom. Whether it's His work. Whether it's His church. Whether it's His temple. Psalm 29, 9. Psalm 29, 9. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve. Discovereth the forest. And in His temple doth everyone speak of His glory. That's how you tell. If it's His temple, if it's His people, they're talking about Him. If it's His messenger, He's talking about Him. If it's His spirit, He's giving Him the glory. If it's His servant, He's giving Him the glory. He's an ambassador of Christ. That's right. He'll bear the glory. He'll build His temple. Back to my text, Zechariah 6. He'll bear the glory. Listen. In verse 13, you there with me now? He'll build a temple. He'll bear the glory. He'll sit and rule upon His throne. He'll sit. The high priest never did sit because his work was never done. Around the temple, around the tabernacle, there's no chairs in that tabernacle. They never sat. But our Lord, when He finished the work, sat down and rules and reigns. He's not going to reign. He does reign. And He reigns upon a throne. Did Bill Clark preach that message here? He preached at our place on the throne of God. It's the throne of majesty to which no man can approach. It's the throne of justice to which no man wants to approach. I don't want justice. It's the throne of grace. Because the high priest sits there representing us. So come boldly before the throne of grace that you may find mercy and grace to help. And He sits, He rules on a throne of grace. Oh, and He shall be a priest upon that throne. And here's the results. And the counsel of peace shall be between them both. God's at peace with us. And we're at peace with God. Because Christ made peace through the blood of His cross. You reckon Zechariah saw his day? I don't know whether that old boy could put all that together. I can't put it all together. I'm living after the cross. But I'm telling you this. He believed in the Redeemer. And he was a man who knew God. He wrote God's Word. He believed what he wrote, what God showed him. And that's what I'm calling on all of us to do. Believe what God wrote. And believe what God's shown us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved. Hope in Him. I don't understand all this. I'm sure Zechariah didn't. People will be wondered at. But I just know God said it and I believe it. And that's our hope. Our Father, thank You for Your Word. I know that we, none of us, even have an idea of how blessed we are to have Your Word. So many nations and people all over the world have never seen Thy Word. And more than that, You've given us a love for Your Word and an understanding. You've given us eyes to see this prophecy and this person, our Lord Jesus Christ. You've given us a heart to believe Him, to love Him, to trust Him, to rest in Him, and find in Him our hope, our high priest, our prophet, our king, our salvation. Now strengthen our faith, increase our faith, and help us to love Christ more, to trust Him, to rest, find our rest and confidence only in Him. Bless the pastor. Bring him safely home. Bless the service tonight, here and in everywhere, every place where Your Word's preached. Help us, Lord, not in our own strength, but in the power of your Spirit to preach Christ our Lord, to whom be glory and praise forever and ever. Amen.
Let's take our hymn books and turn to number 127. Stand with me. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Let's sing the first, second, and the fifth stanza. 127. First, second, and the fifth.
Still.